So about 7 years ago, we started talking about, praying about making the building a better tool. And then Dave Mitchell decided God had called him to plant a church. And so we sent a team to Westridge and then started praying and talking about it again. And then Jim Presnell felt like God wanted him to plant a church in Lawrence. So we started praying and talking about it again. And then Ben Crowe felt like God wanted him to plant a church in Park City. So does anybody think about planting a church? Just checking. It's great if you are. But that's been exciting for us. But in particular, we started asking questions, praying about how do we make our church building, and Eric will talk more about that, more useful for community, better for events, fellowship, not making the seating in here bigger, but making the area more useful, less intimidating for guests and also for introverted members. Making the sanctuary a better fit for who we are as a church. And so 2 years ago, started sensing maybe it was time to begin to move forward again. Last summer, we had a series of meetings with small group leaders. And if you're a part of those meetings, many of you were, you're probably saying, about time. We got feedback on the initial ideas and then spent the last year trying to meet with some architects and builder to incorporate the feedback we got into some kind of design. And that brings us to today. So today we're kicking off a two-year journey together to join where we believe God is moving. If you're a guest, you're thinking probably, I don't know this, great, my first Sunday, and they're talking about a building project. And so let me try to reframe that. First, I understand, and I would feel exactly the same way. So very normal thing to think. But what you wouldn't know is that this is the third time in almost 30 years, 29 years, that we've spent time on a Sunday talking about a facility. First time was when we moved into what's called the old Denny Line building downtown, historic building where Youth Horizons offices. That was 23 years ago. We spent a large part of a Sunday night and all of that gym talking about it. And then the second time was when we moved here 19 years ago. We started talking about it about 20 years ago. When we remodeled the upstairs children area a couple years ago, we didn't talk about it on a Sunday morning, didn't spend much time on it. So here's the reframing. In about 1,500 Sundays, you have the chance to be a part of one of three where we talk about our facility. And if history holds true, it might be another decade before you have this chance again. So lucky you. Now, one thing that has struck me over the past few months as I've thought about this, and I really hadn't thought about it. We've been here 20 years, and I don't know why, but I just started thinking about it, was the people who sacrificed so we can have this facility. And I have a lot of memories in here. Many of you do as well. I have been a part of funerals and baby dedications, baptisms, weddings, and lots of church worship experiences. We've had lots of parties and dances in this building. And then I thought about the people who I don't know who sacrificed to build this building. In case you don't know, we bought this building from what was University Baptist Church about 20 years ago. And those people who sacrificed for this, it was built in three parts. That part down there, our fellowship hall, and then this, and then our nursery area, which they didn't really need, but they were going to have a daycare. And I don't think they ever got the daycare up and running, but we have benefited from that space. And probably most of the people who paid that price are not even alive today. None of them still attend here. The last couple who was a part of University Baptist Church, really the only couple who stayed around, were the Baths, Jim and Barbara, who tremendous, both of them went to heaven about a year apart, and we had their funerals here in this room. So this is our opportunity, in my mind, to build into the future. And so let me give you a brief summary of how we got to this space. We started the church after a couple years of praying, and we started a church in our basement in West Wichita in 1990, and then we rented a warehouse in downtown Wichita for 3 years. It was great. I mean, it was very rustic, warehouse-ish. And but the guy came in one Sunday and said, hey, I got somebody who will pay me more money than what you'll pay me. And so we had to move out. And so we went to Olivet's gym. Olivet Baptist Church was gracious to let us be in their gym for what we thought would be short term. It was 3 years. We were there on Sunday nights. Then we bought the Denny Line building from Youth Horizons. And they took that money and helped open the first boys' home, right, Ernest? That was part of what you did with that money. So it felt like we were paying ourselves. because Youth Horizons is us, and we're Youth Horizons. And then after a few years, we outgrew the building. Youth Horizons had gotten to the point where they needed the space, office space, meeting space back. At the same time, University Baptist Church that was meeting here was down to a few people, and the pastor, who was a friend, and I'd never contacted him, didn't tell him we were praying about space, but he called me and said, "Terry, we believe, those of us who are left believe God wants your church here." He said, "We've had some churches call and inquire about the building, and we never had." He said, "But we think God wants you here." And so we ended up buying this building for a great price. By the way, reaching students is a really important part of our stewardship as a church. Really important. It's been my passion since I was a student. Never have lost it. It's a big reason why God put us in this location. When the president announced he was going to start doing all this cool stuff on campus, somebody called me and said, "Hey, are you interested in selling your building, your location?" And I said, "No, we're happy with our location." He said, "I thought you might be." And someone said, "Well, didn't you want to ask how much?" I said, "No, not really." I said, "Whatever he offered us, we're where we want to be, so what difference would it make?" If someone said, "You can be anywhere in Wichita you want to be," I'd say, "There, I'm there, right where you want to be." So we bought this building from University Baptist. They took half that money, gave it to missions. Half the money they gave to Youth Horizons to buy the building back from us. So again, we're paying ourselves, and God is blessing us both in the same stroke. About a year ago, I went to Eric, who's an architect by training, has a vision for space, and I went into his office. He owns a engineering company now. So I went in, and I set my little teaspoon of vision on the table in front of him. Here's my vision for some improvements to enhance community. And he was patient. He acted interested. And then he gently challenged me. He goes, "Put a couple of pounds of vision up on the desk." And I said, "Well, I have a lot of vision for the process. I mean, I have no problem. But for the building project, I just don't see it." My wife's always trying to get me to see things. You know, beauty matters. This matters. How do things smell matters. All that kind of stuff. And, whatever. And, so Eric was trying to gently lead me to have a bigger vision. And then as I talked to you, Eric was right. And so we've come to a vision that is both a product and then a process. And so Eric has been voluntold that he carries the project, and I'm carrying the process. So Eric, come on up and talk to us a little bit about the project and also the process.
Good morning. As Terry said, my name is Eric Akins, and my wife Joy and my son Aaron have been attending River since 2008, and Joy and I have been group leaders here for 5+ years as well, so we have a history here at River, not as long as others, but we're actually starting to feel like we belong. Just joking. It's amazing how many people have been here 30 years. It's an incredible church. As Terry said, we met with church leadership over the last year, different stakeholders in the church at different levels, and talked about the church building, its pros and its cons, and tried to figure out some things that we could do. And I used a programming process as an architect over many years, and I kind of applied it to this project as well. Even though I wasn't officially hired as the architect, I had the ability to, from past experiences, use this process. And through that collaboration with the leadership and the stakeholders of the church, we developed an outline for identified needs and goals to pursue in the church building. And so I'd like to share four things that this collaboration came up with. And yes, they're on the screen. Good. So the first is, and Terry's already kind of shared this is the location for River, this site. And so we want to serve Wichita from this very location. And therefore, what's important about making sure we identify that as a church is that any investment we make financially into a building is going to have long-term results for us. And we're not going to be throwing money away. We're going to be enhancing someplace we're going to be around for a long time. The second point is to mentally make note that a building is only a tool. It's a tool for the church body to use to fulfill its mission. It's a very important tool, though, and it's one that needs to be sharpened on a regular basis to be an effective tool. And so there's nothing magical about the building, but it's got to be effective and updated over time. The third point was that the church body has a unique personality and calling, and this church definitely has a unique personality and calling, and that the tool that we use should reflect who we are as a congregation. And in some ways it does, in some ways it doesn't, and that's what we were talking about, in ways that it doesn't. And then the fourth thing is, obviously, if we have a calling and we have a tool, what is that calling? And the calling is to know and love God and to make that love known to others. It's always important to come back to why you're here and then sharpen your tool to reflect that. And so we identified those four areas that we need to make sure we kept them focused as we talked about how to improve the building. It is important to note that we have sharpened this tool over time. Recently, in the last couple of years, we've remodeled the children's area upstairs, a great improvement to how children's church works. We've also remodeled the nursery area as well. And so this time, what we decided is to focus on the ground floor, the main floor that everybody uses outside of those areas. And we want to accomplish three things within the main floor. The first is the community gathering and circulation spaces. For example, outside these pair of doors back here is what we call our foyer, but it's also our main hallway. It's our main circulation. It's also very small. And I'm sure many of you have recognized the cons of that space and how it needs to be improved. We also want to have a focus on improving this room, our worship center. And I'm going to share in a minute a few ideas about how we were thinking of doing that. And then the third thing we decided to focus on was our architectural style of the exterior of the building, how we present ourselves to our community and to our neighbors and to those who we're trying to attract to come worship and learn about God to fulfill our calling. And so out of this, what we're trying to achieve is clear circulation paths and wayfinding to the building, into the building, and through the building that doesn't conflict with other spaces like our gathering spaces and our nursery and such. We want to have larger, more updated-looking spaces that are functional for today's world, a modern 21st century church. And we want the exterior of our building to reflect who we are as a congregation. And we're looking for ways to always improve the security and the safety and convenience of people using this site and building. So, with that, we've developed a schematic design, and there's a floor plan up there that has some ideas. And I'm going to go through five ideas, and there's some minor ideas. I'm not going to take too much time today. I'm just going to try to hit the highlights, and then you can ask questions later of staff or me of other ideas. The first thing we want to highlight is an addition to the west side of the building right here on the other side of this wall. And it's highlighted there. And what we're trying to achieve with this addition is a new entry down here at the south side where the parking lot is. And so instead of having inside entries into the building, we'd have a very obvious entrance at the south side where people drive in to the parking lot. And this is very important for visitors. The other thing this entry would do is allow for safety and dropping off people right by the door, kids, children, things like that. It would also provide a covered area so that if it's raining, you can drop off and be out of the weather almost immediately. And so there's some real advantages to what is the new entrance. The second thing this addition does is it creates a circulation pathway down into the core of the building. And we're going to talk some more about that, how that benefits this room and benefits others. What it does do is allow us to have a gathering space outside of circulation. And there she's highlighting it. to have an indoor and an outdoor gathering space on our front lawn with lots of windows where people can see activity in the church and be a part of that. One of the things I've noticed about our church over 10-plus years, and others have identified as well, is that we're very much an outdoor community, and people love to hang outdoors when they're at the church building. And so we want to provide some spaces that are conducive to that, and in good weather and even in bad, because I know my son goes out there in bad weather, people can free flow in and out and have other kinds of community spaces to interact with each other. And so it would give us a great gathering space, fellowship hall, foyer, that would have different kinds of breakout spaces for interacting with each other. And then at the elbow of that space is, you see the staircase. That's the existing staircase that got built when we did the children's area. And that would become a central hub to the building, as it should. And right in front of that, there's a little gray area that could become a visitor kiosk, help desk, a security point. From there, somebody can see both entrances into the building, catch people as they're walking in. It'd be a visual wayfinding cue for people visiting for the first time to go seek help to figure out where they need to go in the building. Also, from a security standpoint, just making sure that who's in the building is supposed to be in the building. So that's some advantages of the addition that we're talking about. The second thing I want to talk about is the existing foyer and circulation space and restroom space. And what this does is, by doing this addition on the west side, it frees that space up to be what it really is only designed to be, and that's a circulation space, a transitional space between major hubs within the church building. It would also allow us to remodel the restrooms, make them larger, more functional, nicer, quality-wise, more privacy, getting in and out of them, and so forth. So I know the men are really excited about that. So the other thing, the foyer moving to the west and this becoming more of a transitional space, is it allows us to take the nursery check-in, which is currently buried back in the nursery department, out to the front edge. And bringing that check-in point out to this front edge allows keeping unwanted circulation from happening back in the nursery. It's very much a comfort zone for parents with young children to drop their children off at a very obvious place. And, again, security and wayfinding are very important in that. The third thing I'd like to talk about is the fellowship hall. And there it's highlighted. One of the things, we want to completely remodel this space. We want to take out the hallway that's between, that you walk down to get to it, and make it a larger room, a remodeled room. We want to, along the north wall, open that wall up into a window wall so there's lots of natural light coming into the space. And then on the other side of that window wall, on the outside, do a small seating patio, again, creating indoor-outdoor space where people can congregate, communicate, fellowship with each other in various ways, and lots of different breakout spaces. We would also take what is currently the serving kitchen, and which is its own separate room, and we would open it up to the fellowship hall, remodel it into a more modern facility, more inviting and functional. It'd have more of a flavor of a serving counter you'd find in a typical restaurant where you'd go order coffee or snacks or such, much friendlier environment. The fourth area I'd like to talk about is the worship center, the room that you're in right now. Right now you're sitting in a lecture style facing south. What we would like to do is turn and face the east wall, and we would take out part of this wall, put a small addition in to have a stage area, and we would do a semicircular seating arrangement facing that way. You would enter from the west wall. If you could just imagine these windows were doors instead of windows, and there's a hallway behind it. And That's how you would come in. That's the importance of the addition as well. You come in the entrance, you're right here at the worship center. You're in a clear circulation place to get here. The advantage of doing this is, or I'm sorry, let me back up slightly. We would also take out this wall, we'd take out this stage, and the room would become bigger. Now, seating capacity doesn't necessarily get a lot larger, but what it does do is allow us to do a semicircular seating arrangement where you enter from the back, facing the front, arranged around that stage. And in a semicircular seating arrangement, I think better reflects who we are as a congregation. It's more of a family feeling, like you're worshiping with people, not worshiping with the back of heads of other people. And you're closer to the stage. Everybody will be closer. The stage could be lower. It can be the sound wouldn't have to amplify so far to the back. And so it'd just be a much better environment to worship as a family. I always use this analogy. When you go to somebody's house to eat, you don't sit in rows and look at the back of somebody's head when you eat. You sit around a table. That's a nice community family environment. And worshiping can be the same experience for us. There would be some other logistic things we solve that I won't bore you with right now. They're more minor in detail. The fifth thing I want to talk about, and the last thing, is the exterior upgrades. As you can see, there's a video here put together and showing what the exterior of the building would be. We would obviously take away the colonial feel of our current building and go for something a little modern, different colors to the building, a more updated 21st century look. This is really important, I think, and is because of the very first impression our community has of us is driving down Oliver. And we need to be very conscious of addressing Oliver as a church. And Wichita State is obviously addressing Oliver themselves. They are building out to the very edges of Oliver. And so it's not that we're trying to keep up with our neighbors, but what we're trying to do is our neighbors are being very active, and we want to be very active and show the community that we're here. We're not a 1950s building. We are a modern church. You can see activity happening on site when you drive by. There's clear wayfinding into the site. The signage is updated. Right now, the architecture of our building speaks to entering on this north door. That's the last door we actually want anybody to enter, but that's what our building says to do. And so we would change that so that that doesn't speak of entrance, that this side speaks of entrance. And then you see activity through all the windows here on the west side that we create with the addition. And so it's addressing our community, addressing Oliver Street, and also relating to WSU, who is also a people group that we want to reach. It's part of our mission, is to be involved with WSU community and be attractive to them. So that's the exterior. Obviously, some of these ideas of changing colors and materials can be carried around the building and make sure the whole building, actually in a pretty inexpensive way, can feel very updated just by changing some colors and getting rid of those colonial columns. So in an overview of upgrading the building, this is the program we've developed, and we're in the process now of fine-tuning this. This is what I call a schematic design. It looks very finished, and in today's world with computers, that's easy to do, but we're going to be constantly fine-tuning this design over the next year. We're working with a local architecture firm and a contractor right now. Using these professionals, they help us fine-tune the building. They help us stay on budget. They're giving us constant feedback on our budget, and they're going to help us keep a very efficient schedule. This isn't something you want to start and then draw out over 10 years, and they will help us stay very focused in that way. The last thing, briefly, I want to say is I just want to share this idea of a third place. In the architecture world, we have what we call the first place, which is your home, your private living quarters. The second place is where you tend to go to do your calling in life. That could be work, It could be school, wherever you're at in your world right now, that you go spend a majority of your day by necessity. The third place is a place where you voluntarily go. There are places like clubs, YMCAs, sporting events, community gathering spaces, and churches. You're not mandated to go to church in this country. This is a place you come because you feel a calling to be around others and to worship with others. And in a third place, it needs to be constantly updated and made comfortable and inviting, and it needs to be purposeful, meaning when people show up, they understand why we're here and what we're about and how to participate with us and be comfortable in doing that. Now, most of the time that's achieved through our wonderful personalities, but the tool, the building, also is important in that process. You don't want it working against you. You want it working for you. I believe with these changes that they will make River a great third place for our community to come and to know God and love God with us. Thanks.
So like I said, God's wired us up differently, and Eric has been wired up by God to see the kind of things I don't see. Not that he doesn't see the process. You could see that in him as well. But for me, it's really important that we grow in our faith in God and our love for one another. And as Christy and I, we see the world my wife and I see the world very differently. Recently, we were seeing the world very differently in a conversation. And but we came together and said, fine, but this is what's going to happen. We are going to be friends, partners, period. We can see the world differently, but this is going to happen. You're going to be my buddy. You're going to be my partner, my wife. And I'm going to be your husband. And so I can tell you this, whatever else happens, we're going to be family. We're going to grow in trusting God, and we're going to grow in faith and community with one another. So I'm confident this is what God's leading us to. I'm confident this is when. And I'm also confident I can get that right. We can get that wrong. So God speaks clearly. We don't always hear clearly. We are fallible. God is not fallible. So I'm open. I'm confident, but we're not infallible. But here's what I know for sure, 100% confidence in how God wants us to move forward. And the reason why I'm sure about that, because that is written in black and white in Scripture, how God wants us to proceed through life together. Every single endeavor, individually or as a church, God wants us to grow in trusting Him and loving each other. I mean, it's tied up in the great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but put the interests of each other first. Those are foundational for us. So I have no doubts about how he wants us to proceed. And he wants us to do it in a way that's going to build community together and faith. Sadly, many building projects, both homes and churches, undermine relationships and community. We're not going down that path. Some couples have tried to build a house. In the process of building a house, they have undermined their home, which is tragic beyond words. So what would be the point of a facility whose purpose is to facilitate ministry, and the process of updating that facility undermines ministry? That just is crazy. We're not doing that. So here's the process. Starting today, we're going to take 2 years to give towards the project. So please pray and ask God how he'd like you to participate if this is your church. And there are some envelopes in the, there's some brochures and some envelopes, and they have a pledge place on there, but no place for the name. That's not a misprint. Don't put your name on there. Those are for people who like the pledge, who want a pledge, who think it'd be good to make that faith commitment to God, but that's between you and God. I don't want to know. And so there's not a place for your name. The financial goal, from what the builders and the architects have said, is to do what we want to do would be $1.5 million. If you look in the brochure, it says that if 400 people or giving units gave about $150 a month for 2 years, that would be the goal. That number is just there for perspective, because it's hard to know where do you even start with this kind of a number. And it's to give perspective on the power of participation. Some people can give more than that. Some people can give less than that. But ideally, everybody would give some. And the reason why full participation is important is because of how God has wired our hearts up. For people who call this home, we want to treasure where God has put us and who God's put us with. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our hearts follow our investments. We get to choose who or what we get a heart for by choosing our investments. And so what you invest, your time, your energy, your thoughts, your money, and you're going to get a heart for, you're going to love. It's not a mystery. And people fall in love with the things and the people that they invest in. Yesterday I did a wedding in Kansas City. Christy and I did for Jake and Kim. Jake's been a part of my small group. He just finished med school about a week ago, got married yesterday. And as I do in every wedding I've done for the last decade, as they gaze into each other's eyes and were ignoring me as I was talking, I talked to them about investment, what got in there. And my cut out like it's doing now. But it's a small enough room, so I just turned the mic off and just talked louder, so Jake and Kim started listening to me. That was the advantage. And I said, Jake and Kim, you know, a magic wind didn't blow you here. And I know this is all magical and all that. I mean, I get it. It's special. But it's not magic that got you here. What got you here was investment. Lots and lots of time, talent, energy. Jake sat in my room over the last couple years, or last year, and talked about Kim a lot. He thinks about Kim a lot. And so I said, what got you here is what will keep you here. Investment. And so God wants us to have a heart for where he's planted us, to bloom where we're planted. So I'm not keeping track of who gives what. That's between you and God. But again, the process matters to me. I want us to have a heart for what God has put on our hearts. If this is where God has called you, bloom where you're planted. If you're a guest, again, I'm glad you're here. Don't feel pressure. If this is not where God has planted you, go bloom where he's planted you, by all means. Now, it's important to remember that the church ministry needs to continue. So what we're asking you to pray about is giving beyond your regular giving. Christian, I've been praying about this for some months because we've known when this is going to kick off. And we believe God's given us an amount to give that will require faith. And he's already begun to use that in our lives. I'm not going to elaborate, but he's already started using that in our lives. And so I have a friend who told me, him and his wife came to a conclusion, God's been using that in their life very specifically already. I'm looking forward to more stories like that. And I'm telling you ahead of time, if you think, okay, you'll hear stories of, well, I gave that money right back to me. That might happen, but don't bank on it. I mean, it may or may not happen. God's not a slot machine. But what will happen is if you trust him however he wants you to trust him, then he will prove himself trustworthy. The actual building groundbreaking goal is a year from May 1st, 2020. And since we're going to keep meeting here, we're not going to move back into my basement for the next couple of years. And we're going to do this in phases, and we'll keep you posted. Which brings me to communication. Here, how's communication going to work? And what I want to do is communicate so that you can hear all that you need to hear, but not over-communicate so it feels like I'm selling. I am not a salesman. I'm not selling anything. I'm just telling you. This is what we believe God is doing. And so I want to tell you all you need, but not over-tell. So if you need more information, then by all means, email, call, whatever. But the website's already got videos on it. It's got these images. It'll be updated regularly. You'll get a regular email from me, not too much, once a month or so, just telling you here's where we are. Every quarter, 3 months or so, we'll say a little bit about it in worship. This is the last time we're doing this on a Sunday morning. Now, I mean, I'm not going to predict the future, but maybe 10 years from now, when I'm 70, we may do it again. But we're going to do some testimonies in church every quarter or so. There's the TV in the foyer will be updated. And then we're going to have some parties, because parties are really fun. And so we're going to have parties. And my dad, when we were growing up, one of his sayings was, never miss a chance to make a memory. And that's a good approach to life. I remember this is back before 9/11, before TSA, and you could come and go from airports. My dad and the buddy were on a business trip. They got delayed. They had like 7-hour delay. What you do now is you sit, and they said, let's go fishing. So they got a cab, went to Walmart, bought some cheap fishing gear, went and caught some salmon somewhere, came back and got on their plane. And my dad and his lawyer friend high-fived, never miss a chance to make a memory. I like that approach to life. Not that you could do that today. It takes 7 hours to get through TSA now. But it's a good approach to life. So we're going to have a party this afternoon to kick it off, finishing up the group year, great community building event. If you don't like community building events, come anyway because they build community. And years ago we had a picnic outside, and there was a couple who are really dear couple. They're really plugged in. They helped plant one of our churches, and they were sitting over by themselves. And I walked over, and I said, "How are you guys doing?" There's people everywhere picnicking, and they said, "Oh, we're terrified." They said, "We are extreme introverts. This is so painful." But you're here. You're here, and they go, "We're here, and we're going to be here." So if you feel like everybody around you is an introvert, not so. Show up and build community. Your heart will follow your investment. We're going to have a concert and a party in September outside. But when the students get back from summer break, we're going to have a party. And then a year from now, we're going to have another party, and we're going to figure out what that's about when it gets closer. But we're going to have another party in about a year. Old Testament's full of party celebrations, marking what God is doing. So we're going to mark this. Calling this process and this project Build at River, because we do want to do something to our building, but we want to build faith and community because, again, the process is important, super important. And so we're praying and believing that God will in all things allow us to live, speak for His glory and for the good of others. So I asked Donovan Carver, Donovan, where are you at? Come on up. And I think Peter's not in here this time, is he? No. Donovan's boss from, Donovan works for an organization that starts mentoring programs around the country. He's kind of a quiet resource here in our church, but he goes out and they start mentoring programs in churches and communities. He's been involved in some state governments helping mentor kids at risk. And then his boss, Peter's here from the East Coast this week, and a great guy. So I've asked Donovan, group leader, been around River a long time, to talk about just cast vision for giving and trusting God with giving. So, Donovan, it's all yours.
Well, I'm just really excited about what God's doing here at River, the work He's been doing. I've been a member and benefited from the ministry at River for over 23 years now. And so, as Terry said, I just wanted to share a little bit about the opportunity to experience God as you're obedient with your financial stewardship. So it was not until I was 23 years old that I made the connection that God could actually provide for real financial needs. Up until that point, I loved God. I knew that He loved me, but I just never asked God to provide financially for me or ask Him if there was someone that He may want me to bless financially. Since then, I've been blessed to experience God's provision over and over again, both on the giving and receiving end. Since then, back in 1996, I was plugged into a men's small group here at River, and we were going through a Bible study titled Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. A couple key principles I learned about how to experience God are that God is always at work around us. He invites you to be involved with Him in His work. And the big one here for me was that you come to know God by experience as you obey Him and He accomplishes His work through you. So I'm going through this study in my small group, and so one day I'm praying, and I just pray, God, show me where You are at work around me. I want to be part of what You're doing. And just soon after that, a couple days later, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me about how God was calling he and his wife to ministry, and he shared a financial need that he had. And so a light bulb went on inside my head. I thought, oh my goodness, God just answered my prayer. I was asking about how I could be involved. God is at work right here in my friend's life, and God is inviting me to be a part of that. And so I prayed about it for some time. I felt peace about committing a certain dollar amount. I didn't have a lot of extra money at the time, and so I dipped into my savings a little bit. But I made the commitment in obedience to God. And it was so exciting for me to take that first small leap of faith financially. God was very gracious to me because within a couple months, I had received that amount of money back from unexpected sources. Now, that's not how it always works, as Terry mentioned earlier. The majority of the times that April and I have made financial acts of obedience to God, our family has had to make sacrifices and rely on God, which has been a tremendous blessing to us. So fast forward to 2010, God called me and my family into full-time ministry where we had to raise our financial support. So initially, that sounded a little bit scary to us because we would have to rely on God for our finances. And, you know, more than anything, April and I, we just wanted to be faithful and obedient to what God was asking us to do. I had experienced God's financial provision in the past, and I had confidence in Philippians 4:19 that my God would provide for all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So we took a leap of faith, and I can testify that God has faithfully provided for our family over the past 9 years through the generosity of others. And I'll tell you that he will provide for you as well if he asks you to make a financial sacrifice. So God is certainly at work here at River. You can see it in the ministry to children, to college students, to the adults, to our community, and beyond. We have a great opportunity to participate in the work God is doing here at River. Investing in our church is a great investment for our future generations. So I have a request that each of us would pray, that we would ask God what he would want us to do regarding the River building project, and then that we would have confidence to do whatever he asks. I'm so excited just to see how we as River Community Church will get to experience God through this exciting opportunity.
So if you're feeling guilt, please don't. If you're feeling uncomfortable, then feel free to keep feeling uncomfortable. And the reason I say that is because God is, and I'll talk about this next week, not about the building, but about the ways in which God is making me uncomfortable right now. And all the ways in which he's making me uncomfortable are ways in which he's inviting me to join him. And you know, I've been comfortable before, and it's just not that good. I don't love to be uncomfortable, but I do love to experience God. I love it. And for me, those two things are mutually exclusive, being comfortable and seeing where God is moving and joining him. So please don't feel guilt. I don't know who, I'm not going to know who gives what. I don't care. But I do know, I do care that we experience God. I mean, that's what life is about. And that those who don't know him come and eat at his table with us. And that's just going to take us getting uncomfortable sometimes or all the time. Let's pray together. Thank you for your invitation to know you and to hear your voice, to be a part of what you're doing in the lives of people around us. And thank you for inviting us into your joy. Thank you for inviting us to come and eat at your table. And we want to help those who are far from you, who are starving out there spiritually, to know you and to know your joy. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Sunday.